So I hope everybody has the page from Arisa Credits I gave last week. I didn't send it on the picture because I gave it out last week. But from now on, any pages we'll be able to do using the phone through Moshe David. Is Moshe David here still?
Yes,
so I just sent Moshe David. Last week at the beginning we did a very, very beautiful piece from the Kavatsim, Rav Kook speaking to us. And some of the Chevre in Yerushalayim, Yaakov Shalom Klein and Kovi Fleischman, they brought down the translation, they made it into a very beautiful thing. So you can get that from Moshe David. I just sent it to him around a minute ago. So you should be able to give it to you. Something very beautiful to have. Moshe, beautiful. Okay, L'shem Yichud Kodesh Baruch Shchinta, we're going to start learning the seminal work of Rav Kook, the Arus HaKadosh, that was compiled, as we spoke about last week, by Riches, by way of introduction, by the Nozir Shusi Aleinu. As I've always said over the years of our limud of Rav Kook, that everything, Moshe, I just sent you something on the thing, you see that you could, from last week,
also on the website, you can sign up to the WhatsApp group on the
shiur. On the website, you could sign up to the
WhatsApp group
for this shiur, so you could always get any pages and things like that, or any news and information, upcoming events, things like that. But you see, I just sent you the thing from. Listen to, they called it Rav Kook's love letter to Am Yisrael. It's very special. It'd be good to go over with the kids before Shabbos or at the Shabbos table. It'd be very chashuv. So with Rav Kook, everything is by way of a hash'ara, to try to understand. This first Torah I saw was translated. That's what the guys pointed out, that it was translated on Sifaria, on what's called a website or an app or something. And there is... So I was excited. I thought that the whole Arisa Kodesh is translated. Turns out just the first Torah is. It's only one Torah that is changed. So I looked at it, and I didn't find it to be particularly accurate, that translation. So not that mine is, but I'll try to, as always, we'll try to work it out together to understand what the Tzaddik is saying. Every word here is so important, and it's chaval that he wrote in such a way that it's so hard to understand. That's Hashgacha. Hashem wants us to work at this very hard. Each one of these Torahs is mamash a world. And we could stay on each one for the whole year. And we're going to try to be makatsim, to just go to learn each one, to try to have a basic understanding of each Torah. Chochmas HaKodesh HaPoelos. Chochmas HaKodesh HaPoelos. There's something about Torah that's different. There are many things that are different, but the essential difference is what Rav Kook focuses on over here. The difference between Limud HaTorah and studying anything else in the world, as wonderful as all of those other Limudim could be, anything else in the world. The Nozir, Rav David Cohen, in the shiur that we now have, I mentioned last week, we have some shiurim, two volumes already of shiurim from the Nozir. The Nozir writes, or the Nozir taught in this shiur, that in the ancient world, there were two basic hashkafas. I'm just saying this by way of hakdama. There were two basic hashkafas regarding life, learning, everything. The first is called static. He called hastatit or hastatis, static. The second is called dynamis or dynamic. That first hashkafa, the first way of looking at things, that's called static, is rooted in the belief in the eternity of matter, which is something that, of course, we don't chas v'shalom believe in. We believe the world was created from nothing. There was nothing. And Hashem, k'sha'ola b'ritzoni yisbarach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created everything from nothing. But the ancients believed, many of the ancients believed, that there always was something. And that belief in Kadmus HaOlam, that the world was always here, cast a certain shadow over all of life. Shlomo Melech said it in a few words in Koheles, Ma Shahaya, what? Who she is. What was is what's going to be. Now Shlomo Melech meant that in an entirely different way. But the way that was understood by the ancients, even without the pasuk, but this hashkafa of a static universe means that everything just is the way that it was. People come and go, and there are all kinds of events that are taking place upon this stage of history. But in Pnimius, they understood that Hakol Omeid, the same way that the world always was. There's no Hashgacha Pratis. There's no involvement. It's just what it was is what it is, what it will be. Thus is thus. That was something that took up the ancient world. And it's rooted in Greek philosophy, v'chul, which we'll talk more about in a few minutes. The dynamic view of the world, a view of creation, from that perspective of creation, there's a belief that everything is in constant motion, everything is in constant change, in constant flux. It's the opposite of Hakol Omeid. Here it's Hakol Holech. Hakol Holech. The Yesod of our Emunah is, which the Tanya discusses in Shaiichud V'Emunah, the whole Shaiichud V'Emunah is based upon the Baal Shem HaKadosh's explanation of V'Atem Mechaya is Kulam. That Hashem is Baruch V'Atem Mechaya, that Rabbi Shalom, you give life to all that exists. And the Tanya says, he says in the name of Chazal, the Nazir is tracing this teaching of the Tanya back to some obscure sources in Chazal, which he uncovered, the Nazir did uncover, that Ata Mechai also means Vata Mahava, that you give life, and you give every second you give existence to, which the Tanya talks about in Shaiichud V'Emunah. Every single second, like Kosh Baruch Hu is saying, Yehi, or Yehi Rakia, every second, Yehi Avi, Yehi Moshe, every second. It's Yehi, Yehi, Yehi. Kosh Baruch Hu is every second's Mechai and is Mahave. Vata Mechai is Kulam, Vata Mahave is Kulam. Not only that He gave us life when we were born, but He gave the tree life when it Mahave. And He has sources in Chazal for that. The Pasuk says, of course, Vata Mechai is Kulam, which you just said in Davening. But Chazal wanted to explain Vata Mechai, it does not only mean that He created something. It also means Vata Mahave. Hove means Akshav. Every second. Vata Mahave is Kulam. And that Akash Baruch Hu, the Tani explains from the Zohar Kodesh, Kisveri, Akash Baruch Hu is Soviv Kalam and Mamala Kalam and surrounds all worlds, fills all worlds, all worlds, lays also Ponimini, there is no place without Hashem. Atamahayas, Atamahad. So that's a dynamic world, a world that is constantly moving, constantly in motion, and being moved by the hand of the Creator. Of course, our upgrade of that view of the world is the one that we live by. Even those in ancient times, non-Jews, who believed in a dynamic universe, they took it in a different direction. And our understanding is the way we're taught in Tanya and in Nefesh HaChaim, and what it means that Kasher Baruch every single second is Atum Mechaya Atum Mahav. And we just said in Davin, Mechadesh Betuvo B'chol Yoim Tomid Ma'isa B'reish. Mechadesh. The ikur of everything is his chachas. Everything is new. Everything is new. The view of a static universe is unbelievably depressing. Unbelievably depressing. Mashahoy Hushiyah. What was is what's going to be. Nothing really, really changes. It's the opposite of truth. It's the opposite of all that we believe in. The dynamic view of creation is the root and source of tshuva, of ischadshes. Everything is from that mahalach of a creation yesh me'ayin. So Cook explains chokhmas hakodesh hi na'ala mikol chokhma. Everybody has to have this inside, because if you don't look at this, it's impossible to hear it. I'm just saying it's not possible to hear it. It has to be learned carefully inside. Chachmas HaKodesh Hinala Mikol Chachma. Chachmas HaKodesh, the Chachma of Kedusha, Torah. Chachmas HaKodesh, Holy Wisdom. Chachmas HaKodesh Hinala Mikol Chachma. It is more lofty, it is exalted, it is higher than all Chachmas. In what way? Bezes, and now Rav Kook is talking about the most important, an obvious, maybe not obvious, but the most important difference between Chachmas HaKodesh and Chachmas HaChol. Or Chachmas Yavin, we'll call it. Because that's what we're talking about, Chachmas Yavin, even though it's not Chanukah yet. Chachmas Yavin, Greek wisdom. Greek wisdom is the most powerful and compelling expression of the static view of the universe. So that's really, in Pnimius, it's the arch enemy of who we are and how we think. So what is this nekuda that makes Chachmas HaKodesh Hanal Mikol Chachma? B'zeh, Shehi Mahapeches Es HaRotzen V'Hatchuna HaNafshis Shalom Deo. Chachmas HaKodesh doesn't just inform a person, doesn't just teach a person. Chachmas HaKodesh doesn't inform, it transforms the person. It also informs. Right now, we're going to be receiving new information. We're starting Eretz HaKodesh. We're going to now have the information of Eretz HaKodesh, the first simon in Eretz HaKodesh. But if any of us are here to learn Eretz HaKodesh because we want to have more information, and we feel that that's what the Torah is, it's a matter of informing us of the Zohar. That means that we're stuck in that static view of creation, of Mashahaya Hushiyah. Mm-hmm. That means that these words were written by Rav Kook on a piece of paper, whatever, like 100 years ago. So, and now we want to be inspired by or informed by. That's not Chachmas HaKodesh. That's not Chachmas HaKodesh. Secular wisdom does that as well. There are many, many, many beautiful and inspiring poems, works of literature, and so on. Certainly there's a wealth of information, tons of information, about the world, about the human condition when you study Chol, when you study Chachma Yevamos, Greek wisdom. What's unique about Chachmas HaKodesh is that it's a living, breathing organism. Now, there's a very big difference, Lamoshal, between the statue of a lion and an actual lion. And anybody that's ever met either of those or both of them knows that the statue, it's okay if it's not behind the cage. But if it's a real living lion, so then you better make sure that it's behind the cage. There's a story that Jews tell about that there was a Yid, the Nebuchadnezzar, he lost his job, he couldn't make any living, and he went to the zoo. He wanted to have a job as maybe to work in the zoo. He was desperate to find a job, and they said, "Listen, we don't have any openings here, but our lion just died, and we could give you this outfit. We can give you this outfit as a. It's a famous joke. We can give you this outfit as a. My father. It's an old joke. My father goes like this. That's what the East New York means. That when I was this little, that joke had a beard this long. So he just goes like this when it's an old joke. So this guy, they trained him how to act like a lion and to go like a lion. All the koilis, and they gave him this gewaldig. It was his first day. The thing is, he has to go into this cage. And in the cage, there are other things. There's like a bear, it's very, very scary over there. And he's trying, I don't remember the exact joke, but he's trying very, very hard. You know, he's roaring, he's acting like a big lion. And there's another lion or a bear that comes over there, and now he's starting to get a little bit nervous. And the end of the thing is that the bear takes his mask off a little bit and says, like the Menyidis, you think you're the only one that needs a panasa? And I also need a panasa. The whole thing is mamish, a scam. There's a big difference between a real lion and a make-believe lion, or a statue of a lion. The difference is that this is a lebedikah and this is a toiter. This is alive and this is dead. The shivcha, the maidservant, Greek wisdom, is a toiter. It's dead. It's dead. All that you majored in college is tight. It's dead. It's dead. It can inform you, and I'm not making fun of the information. As long as it's kosher stuff, you're studying whatever it is that's kosher. I'm not talking about chalila, things that are against the Torah. As long as you're studying something that's kosher, it's not. It's good information, and you need it for work and to make a living. That's fine. Oh, it's tight, but it's not alive. The Torah is leibedik, and because of that, he mahapeches es haratzon. It has the strange ability to transform a person's will and desire, to change your will, to affect your rotzen. Shema hapeches, it turns over, turns around a person's rotzen. I've seen this so many times over the years. And I'm not talking about learning something from Rav Kook that's like unbelievably mind-blowing and inspiring. I've seen that happen with a person that learns a few Mishnayos, a person that learns a Gemara. And it's something that's dealing with a very technical matter. It's ma'apeches zaratzen. Ma'apeches zaratzen. May Ashishli sustain all of Hashem, sustain by the cause that's trying to drag a Jew off someplace and to get him somehow to have a Shabbos, then on Sunday to sit down and to learn a Blat Gemara. Didn't make a difference which Masech there was. Doesn't make a difference. The Torah, whatever that Torah is, it has this quality. If one allows himself to be open to it, it transforms, it turns around the rotzen, the will. And the spiritual, emotional character, the personality, the attributes of a person. Shalom Dev, all those who learn it. Lekarvam, to draw them closer. Le'oysa harayimimus, to that great exaltedness. Shehi ba'atzma misatzemes ba. In which the Torah itself is, we see it's intensified and strengthened in the Torah itself, this exaltedness. You know that Chazal say, "Istakel kut shabichu b'raisu b'ra alma," right? Everybody here has heard that. Hashem gazed into the Torah and He created the world. means HaKadosh Baruch Hu used the Torah kivyachol, as Chazal says, a kleyumnus, as the means by which he created all that exists. And ever since then, the Torah has this ability to recreate you, to create. HaMachadosh B'tuvo B'chol Yom Tov B'Maisei B'Reishis, that Hashem renews every single day, B'Reishis, which means every moment, every second, Hashem is renewing creation. B'tuvo, Chazal say, Ein Tov, what? Ella? Torah. Machadosh B'tuvo means the same way as Taka Kutchabich B'Reishis Bar Alma, that Hashem looked into the Torah and He created the world. That means that when you and I look into the Torah, our world changes. Our world can be recreated. That's not going to happen to you when you're studying accounting or Shakespeare. Again, you could be inspired. And you could start thinking about things and maybe change your life. Of course, any wisdom can have an impact upon a person. What's unique about Torah is that it inherently does this to you, regardless of where the Torah is coming from, meaning regardless of the subject matter. It has this inherent koach, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu created all of existence with the Torah. The Torah is dynamic, it's active, it's alive. That's why the parak is called Chochmas. I mean, Rav Kook didn't give the title, the Nozer did. Chochmas HaKadosh HaPoelas. Chochmas HaKadosh is Poelas. Poelas means it's active. It's labedik. It's active. Masha'en ken kol ha'chochmas ha'ilomiyas. There's a reason why the chachmas, secular chachmas, are called chachmas chitzonius. Chachmas chitzonius. It's called external wisdom. Torah is chachmas pnimis, is internal wisdom. And secular wisdom is called chachmas chitzonius. Because no matter how great a scholar you are, in secular wisdom, sof kol sof, even though you've absorbed the material, it is doomed to remain outside of who you are as a person, because it's not who you are. It's just something that you have studied, that you have read. So I've mentioned many times the famous thing with the great philosopher Bertrand Russell, who has written so much about ethics and kindness and morality. When he was giving a lecture once in college, so he was bragging to his students about how he was cheating on his wife. He bragged to his students about it. And one of the students had the audacity and the courage to challenge Professor Bertrand and say, all that you're teaching is about morality. And his response was Einstein a triangle? That was his response. He was a smart guy. It's hard to catch him on something. Was Einstein a triangle? Means that, listen, Einstein was a big bucky in math. He was a genius in math. It doesn't mean he became a triangle. So I'm a big bucky in kindness. It doesn't mean I'm kind. I mean, I'm a big bucky in decency and in morality. That doesn't make me to a decent and moral person. It was one thing of that. It's a chachma. It's a chachma. Torah is chochma pnimis. That means it gets into your kishkes. It means that the soul allows it in. It wants to get in. And since we were created with it, and especially the inyan of a Jew, what a Jew is, which we're not going into now, the chilek, but the mahus of a Jew, the mahus, the essence of a Jew, relates to Torah. It's matzah min es minai, the essence of a Jew, which is the soul, finds its soulmate in the Torah, especially in the nishmas of the Raisa, especially in pnimis haTorah, in the deepest teachings of Torah, but even in the most revealed aspect of Torah, just learning a Mishnah, Gemara, Pasuk HaMishrashi, whatever, Aleph Beis, whatever it is. All the secular wisdom of the world doesn't have this this power, this ability. Afal pi shehem etzayrois in yodim and nisgavim yofim ba'atzilim. Even though secular wisdom has the ability to portray, to paint, and to portray, to sort of reproduce, to make pictures and paintings with words and with a paintbrush and with whatever. Very sublime, beautiful, and noble things. Certainly one can't argue with that. That there's a tremendous amount of beautiful, sublime, and noble teachings and writings in Chochma Chitzainis. There's no question. Nevertheless, Rav Kook says, Ein lehen oisa hatchuna hamif'olis. It does not have this active attribute. Sof kol sof, it's not alive. It's dead. It's information on a computer, in a book. So, now, when Rav Kook says, Af b'shein mitzai reis in yom nizgavim, secular wisdom, Chachmas Yavin, Greek wisdom, Chachma Chitzainis. All Western culture is the anacle of Greek wisdom. Greek with a little bit of Rome. But it's an anacle of Greek wisdom. There's a place for that, as you all know. There's a place for that in the life of a Jew. How much and how, in what way, of course, that's a huge argument and discussion between Rishonim and between Achronim, and how much. But the pasuk says Yafta Lakim LeYefes. Greece comes from Yefes, as you all know, and the Torah says Yafta Lakim LeYefes. Has the pasuk again? VeYishkan BaOhalei Shem. There's the Yefes, which means beauty. Then that Greece comes from Yefes. Yefes is beauty. Yafta Lakim LeYefes. Yafta Lakim LeYefes. There is great beauty to be found in Yefes. In secular wisdom. And therefore, the Jewish people have also the need and can benefit from accessing the wisdom of the world. And that's why it says, Vayishkon ba'ohalei shem. That the beauty of Yefes can dwell in the tent of shem. We come from shem. Can dwell in the tent of shame. Yafta lekim liyefes vayishkan bo'ohalei shame. So when Rav Kook says over here that afal pi shein mitzayros in yom nizgavim yofim ba'atzilim, that Yefes, Greece, has the ability to portray, to depict and to portray with words and with art and music and so on, very noble, sublime, and beautiful things. It's true. And that's what it says. You have to look in the office. And it's a gift that they have from God, from Hashem. And somebody who paints a beautiful painting, that's a gift from Hashem, that he could do such a thing. Rav Kook couldn't get over Rembrandt. Mamish couldn't get over Rembrandt. And when he was in London, at the time of World War I, when he was in London, he was a rav in London for a while, and he was there because he got stuck there when the war started and he couldn't get back to Eretz Yisrael. And he was there and he went to see, I think, I don't know if it was in London or in Paris, but he went to see there was a Rembrandt there. He said that this person, he felt that there must be something of ruach, like some ruach of Kedusha, that a person could paint such a thing. That when he looked at the painting, he said he couldn't mind stop looking at it. I don't know which one of his paintings it was. He said that such a godless in this person, that he was able to paint like this. That's a gift from Hashem. There's no question. And therefore, the shirish of Western culture, Western civilization, the shirish is in that world of you have to look in the office. Of course, people have the choice to use it in a bekavedik way, in a dignified way, or in a terrible, undignified way. Just like we have free choice. They also have free choice. But there's a place of Yishkan V'Ohal Hashem. But with all of that, Rav Kook is saying, Ein lehem oisa atchun ha-mefalus. Chochmas Yavan does not have this active attribute. Lahamshich es ha-mahus ha-atzmis shalahoyge behen el-erkon. To draw the mahus ha-atzmis shalahoyge, the inner essence of the one who is studying it, to the value of the subject that's being studied. So that's what Russell said. Einstein's not a triangle. In other words, he studied triangles. That doesn't make him into a triangle. Rav Kook is saying that what's unique about Torah is that when a Jew learns Torah, not when a goy, but when a Jew learns Torah, the mochus ha'atzmus, the essence of the Jew is drawn out because it's coming into contact with the essence of who he is, which is the Torah. Because each one of us contains within us, as we learned earlier, the Oisius of Torah, we learned last year. The Oisius of Torah, the letters of Torah. All of us. And we learned Torah inside, before we were born, we learned Torah. Ubemis, ein lo yachas klal liyeser ha-koiches va'atzmiyus shel ha'adam. Whereas Chochma Chitzainis remains always outside and has no relationship, he says, when it comes to Greek wisdom, ein lo yachas klal liyeser ha-koiches va'atzmiyus shel ha'adam. You could be a person who is unfortunately bound to a wheelchair and you love reading about marathons and Olympics, and the fact that you love reading about the Olympics doesn't help you get out of the wheelchair. We wish it could, but it doesn't. It's a chachma chitzainis. So you might be the biggest bucky. I remember once I was a big Mickey Mantle fan. I don't know if you heard of him. And I was going. He was a very big Getschke for us when we were growing up, and an idol for us when we were growing up. And my father once heard me that I was listening to the radio. We used to do that. We had like these transistor radio. I was listening to the Yankee game, and I was getting very carried away. My father was outside the door, and he heard me saying like Mantle's up at bat. I was getting carried away, and my father said to me. He came in the room and he said, get dressed, we're going to Itzu, that's my uncle, and you're no Mickey Mantle. you're not an actual baseball player, you're just listening to the baseball. Don't get yourself too worked up about this, you know. Like, he saw that I was getting very excited, and it sounded to him like I was imagining myself up at the plate, you know, and getting carried away. He said, you know, you're just a little kid. We're going to your uncle, your aunt and uncle, get dressed. That was it. So I said, all right. You know, like, you put down your Yankee hat and you put your bat down. And just going to it. That was it. The end of the game. The end of the World Series or something. It remains outside of yourself. You could be someone, you're the biggest expert in baseball. And you know every single statistic from the time of Gracious. You know, this guy, how many RBIs and how many strikeouts, and you're a total yisrael. You can't pick up a glove or a bat. Yeah, nobody. Doesn't mean one thing doesn't have. There's nothing to do with the other. There's nothing to do with the other. Because it's doomed to be chachma chitzainis. That's all it is. It's external wisdom. And external means it doesn't relate to your internal existence of your mahus, of who you are. It's just something that you study, that you read about, that you're fascinated by. Again, it could excite you. It could get you all excited, but at the end of the day, you're not Mickey Mantle. You're just not. So, it's not who you are. But when you're learning Torah, that's who you are. And therefore, it has the ability of Mashcheni Acharecha. It has the ability to draw the who you are out of you. To draw it out of you. to be megala that. Chochma chitzaynis bemis ein la yachas klal liyasa karchas va'atzmi yishalodim has no chochma chitzaynis has no relationship at all to the other karchas, to the karchas of a person. The atzmi is the essence of a person. Chutz mikocho hamada'i levad. Madoi means what? Well, it means mada, they use, means science. It means intellectual, except for the information. Mada'i means the intellect. That's the only, in other words, it doesn't affect, it doesn't have a bearing upon the karchas and nefesh. It doesn't mean that you can't read something that and you get, you want to get, you want to do something about it, and of course you could be inspired to do something. But there's no direct relationship between what you're reading, what you're studying, and any other part of you except the seichel. Now, what's scary is that there are Jews, and even Jews who are Shomer Torah mitzvahs, that their entire way of teaching Torah is like that. That's how they present Torah. That's how they teach Torah.
What do you mean? That's a secular subject?
Yeah. Not that they don't believe that it's holy, but they teach it as if they were teaching a secular subject. That the main thing is not who gave the Torah, but what it says in the Torah. And to make a separation between the one who gave the Torah and the Torah itself. In other words, there's a way for even a Jew to take this living organism, the Torah, and to clip its wings and to take away its breath, its life. There are unfortunately people who learn Torah in such a way, and therefore it's possible that you could sit and you could learn all the most beautiful exalted things and you could do the biggest avarice in the world. It has no bearing upon you at all. You don't see it as something which is, you don't experience the limud Torah as something which is a way of uncovering the essence of who you are. You just look at it as something which is mada'i. It's just a matter of science. Yes. And this is what frightened the tzaddikim most when it came to the Haskalah. Now, all of you know that the Haskalah, what was it called in English?
Enlightenment.
The Enlightenment. Ancient Greece, I have to finish a few minutes early. Give me a little of a simon, like at 5 to, all right? Ancient Greece was obsessed with light. Did anybody ever study this stuff? Any of you study these things? Yeah? A little bit? Yeah, because I studied a little bit, but it's a long time ago, so I did a lot of tshuva to try to forget it, so it's not, I don't remember the protim. But ancient Greece was mamish obsessed with light. And the word yefes, like Rashi says, yefas mar'a, means ziv klas depanav. Ziv means the light of someone's face. The ancient Greeks were, with their art, and really that's what Rav Kook was talking about, the beauty of the Rembrandt. And he mentioned specifically the light, the way that Rembrandt was able to use with the paintbrush to, the light, the dark. They were mamish obsessed with light, and they therefore were extremely, extremely committed to doing the best they could, and some of them were extremely, extremely talented people, to enlighten the world. To enlighten the world, to bring beauty to the world. But remember, their beauty is a beauty that's external. Yefes, yefes, yefas mara, ziv klas terponet, which means the external beauty, how something looks on the outside. Now, what's amazing, and here we're going to get a little bit Chanukah, because the sugi here is this first Torah is very much with Chanukah. But what's amazing is when the Torah revealed to us at the very beginning, by way of a remez, by way of a hint, the future four kingdoms of our Golas, So the Torah says, "Bereshit Elokim Yisrael Mashmash." Varos Haisa Sova Vov Vachoshech Vuruch Elokim Achavs Al Pnei Atam. Right? Varos Haisa Tohu Vavohu. Choshech is who? Yavan. Right? Everybody knows Choshech is Yavan. Darkness is Yavan. Every Chanukah Torah is on that subject. The darkness is the Golus of Yavan. Tohu Vo Bovel in Persia. Choshech is Yavan. Shechshicha Inayim Shayisrael B'gzeiros Seim. That it brought a darkening to the eyes of the Jewish people. So Choshech is defined as Yavan. Yavan is defined as Choshech, rather. The gullus of Yavan is the gullus of darkness. Now here, all that Yavan spoke about was light. Right? All that Yavan spoke about was enlightening the world. When I said before that the tzaddikim were terrified of the enlightenment, it's because they knew that there was no greater darkness than the enlightenment. And the Haskalah was about Jews learning Torah without life, without the Ribbono Shel Olam, learning Torah as a science. And it was called the science of Torah. That's how the Maskilim saw the Torah, as a science, as something which is ingenious. And that's why the ancient Greeks wanted the Torah to be translated into Greek. The Targum Shivim, right? They wanted it to be translated into Greek because they saw the Torah as being exceedingly beautiful. It's beautiful. And the Greeks believed that the Torah could bring tremendous light, beauty, culture, education to the world. But Chazal understood, and it was revealed to them in the light of Torah, that Yavan is darkness. Yavan is Choshech. And the Yavanim were the ones who made Gzeirah. Chazal say that they darkened the eyes of the Jewish people and they made a gezeirah that they should write Kisvu lechem al keren hashor she'en lechem chelav b'kei Yisrael, to write on the keren hashor, that's not for now, but that they should engrave on the horn of the animal of the ox, ein lanu chelav b'kei Yisrael, we have no portion in the God of Israel. In other words, what Greek enlightenment means is wisdom but without any chelik b'kei Yisrael, without it being godly. Without the godliness, without the va'atam achai es kulam, va'atam ahave es kulam. And ever since ancient Greece, literally began before, but in earnest, ever since ancient Greece, the secular world, the educated, westernized secular world, has seen its purpose in enlightening all of us pagans and everybody else with the brilliance and the beauty of Western culture and civilization. That's been the tachlis. That's the tachlis. To spread this aur in the world. So how could it be that those people who were the most enlightened, who literally worshipped light, they worshipped light, the sun, light, they worshipped light. So how is it that they were the greatest salesmen of darkness in history? Who are the real maskilim? If you look in the beginning of the Tikkun HaZohar, at the very beginning, and in many places in the Zohar Kaddish, Maskilim kezohar harakia is Rabbi Shimon v'achavraydile. Rabbi Shimon v'achai, Rabbi Shimon and his chaverim, they are called in Sefer Daniel. The pasuk says maskilim kezohar harakia, mazhirim. True light. The Zohar is called light. Zohar means splendor, light. Chochma, the chachme hapnimius, Rabbi Shimon and his chavraya, are called maskilim. In the language of Torah, they are the maskilim. And the maskilim are kezohar rakia mazhirim. They shine like the brilliance of the sun in the sky. Hamaskilim kezohar rakia, that's Rabbi Shimon and his chevri. Now the secular world sees Rabbi Shimon and the chevri and his chevri as being from the kingdom of darkness. What are you talking about, this stuff? The Zohar, what is that? Magic. But Hashem Yisbarach said that the true maskilim are not the ones who define themselves or like to call themselves as maskilim, as the teachers of enlightenment who are spreading light. Those were people who were spreading darkness. Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Shimon's Chevraya, they are the maskilim. They're the maskilim. They're the true maskilim. Because that's the seichel of Torah. Not only the seichel of Torah, but the pnimius of the seichel of Torah, which is the most powerful light. And what Rav Kook is telling us here is the power of that light is that it connects automatically, if you allow it in, it connects to the light of your neshama. And it brings you to life. And it enlightens you completely.
Rebbe, would you say it's the person giving it over more than the material? Like if a big Rav gives over material and it's almost identical to what a secular person, is it coming from the...
Sure,
of the
sure.
Is it's that what it is?
Very important. David made a very important Ha'ar. It's true. It makes a huge difference. I mentioned last year or 2 years ago that, as an example, that when I was younger, so I used to learn a lot, I used to learn the Chavetz Chaim Svarim a lot. That means like when I was like 13, 14, I used to learn a lot of the Chavetz Chaim Svarim. Because I got 3 volumes, the Chavetz Chaim, I got on the Lower East Side, all 3 volumes for $6. And it was a horrible print. Since then, it's been reprinted so many times. Beautiful, and I had such unbelievable chiyus from the Chavetz Chaim Svar. Now, those who learn the Chavetz Chaim, you know that the Torahs from Chavetz Chaim are very, very pashut. They're very pashut. But when I started to learn Chavetz Chaim Ad Hayom, unfortunately, I got lost in some sophistication. I tried to become fancy, and I learned all these fancy things. But sometimes when I just feel like I'm dying, I just take out the old blue Chavetz Chaim. The blue is already torn many years ago. And I take out one of the old Chavetz Chaim, and I just open up to any page. And I start to, out loud, I start to learn the Chavetz Chaim. I start to cry. Anything I learn from him makes me cry. Even though he's saying something that's so pashut. So pashut. Just like when they came out with that picture of him 4 or 5 years ago, you remember? That they found... someplace in a basement, like in Alabama, they found, I don't know where it was, in the Midwest somewhere, they found in some university's library this footage of when he was coming into the Knesset Gedolah in 1923 in Vienna. You know what I'm talking about, that clip? I still see it at least once or twice a week. I still look at it. When it came out, I couldn't stop looking at it, and it made me cry. There's something about the Chavetz Chaim, about It wasn't the what you're saying. It wasn't what he said. So a lot of that stuff you or I might have been able to say it also. It wasn't necessarily the chomer, the material. But that came from the Chavetz Chaim's mouth, his head, his pen. Somehow, it just. Now if that's true of the Chavetz Chaim, it's kind of a comma just to read, you know, Teres Moshe, to read a pasuk in Chumash. And I know Jews who are like that. The Yid HaKadosh used to say that the biggest Musa Sefer that he had was called Sefer Devarim. That's what Yid HaKadosh said. That wouldn't work for us, Sefer Devarim. We've been doing it for a couple of weeks now. It's not working, right? The Yid HaKadosh said that when he wanted to learn Musa, he would open up Sefer Devarim. Ah, really. Learn Musa. Now he's like all kinds of things, and I'm a chat group, you know, a Bill Vavi chat group or something. He just the Yid HaKadosh said he didn't say for Devarim. It's Mechaya. Tell you try. Maybe it works for me that way. But when I learn, any time I learn from the Chavetz Chaim, but it doesn't work when I read the Chavetz Chaim quoted someplace else. Then I just look at it like it's another Torah and I say no. But when I look in the Chavetz Chaim itself, in the Chavetz Chaim itself, whatever I learn there, it starts to make me cry.
From you, I don't think other people would open up the
sefer. No, I don't know why Davka me with the Chavetz Chaim, but it would work for you with a different sefer. There's somebody with the Kedusha Slavi, whatever it is, whatever that is, It's about how it was given. Certainly, there was something that when I was a kid, that for some reason, I don't know, that something opened up in me when it comes to Chafetz Chaim Svarim. I don't know. I just know that it makes no difference at all. I just take it, I take one of them, and I just go like this, and I go to the top of the paragraph or a page, and I start to go, and I start to cry. I just start doing it, I start to cry. That happens to me also with Lakut HaMaran. I'll tell you the truth. And that's why when I started to learn Lakut HaMaran, that was like the stage after the Chafetz Chaim, I started to learn Lakut HaMaran, and I told that to a tzaddik in Yerushalayim, so he gave me very strong encouragement about that, and I told him about these two things and how it works, and he explained to me some of the connections and so on. It's just something about it. I don't know. The second I read, the second I start to learn Lakut HaMaran, and Rebbe just says, da, I start to ready to like feel all worked up about it. I start to perspire, and I go, oh, da. And I can look someplace else, and I can say da, and I can go on for 10 paragraphs, and I'm still composed. I'm fine. Yeah, I'm still fine. But when I open up Lakut HaMaran, I start to read the first word. I already start to go. And I felt that, and I feel that when I go to the Tzion also by Rabbi Nachman. I wasn't zechut to be with the Chodesh Chaim. Be the Mitzvah, I'll go there. But I feel that when I go to the Tzion of Rabbi Nachman also, I feel it. Like the second you go near the place, it's like, oh.
Rabbi, what about this?
Eretz Achelus Yeshua Amamish.
Huh? What about this?
I have unbelievable Hischazkas from, but it's not the same for me. When I said that, I wasn't meaning to say, now we're going to go through Weinberger's list. I'm not like that. So, you know what I mean, Elliot? That's not my point at all. Obviously, you see that I'm very, very deeply connected to Rav Kook's writings, and I'm just saying that when it comes to the Chafetz Chaim, and Rabbi Nachman, that there's something there that with Rav Kook, there's a sense of that as well. Maybe. All right, that's not. Say to leave it at that, but every person has to daven that he should be able to connect to tzaddikim. But this I know is that there's nothing else that I've ever read, and all of the things that I've read over my life that does that, that can do that. Nothing. Even though there are many things that I've read that are very inspiring. I'm not saying that I never shed a tear when I read something from Wordsworth or Longfellow. I would be lying if I didn't, because I'm an emotional guy. I'm a Hungarian, you know, and we cry easily. And I can't say that I never cried over something from Shelley or from Wordsworth. I a little bit, but that's a different mahalik. It's not the same. It's lahavdil lahavdil alef alfei hevdalos. That has to do with the chaimer, not with the person. It has to do with the material that I was reading. And then, you know, now when I look back at the same thing that got me all worked up years ago, I said, what was I thinking? But I can go over the same Torah from the Chafetz Chaim, the same Torah from Rabbi Nachman 1,000 times, and I get worked up more each time. It's Chachmas HaKadosh. It's Chachmas HaKadosh. It's something else. I will continue to say next.
You can only say for Mokhan Shifta Mohadim.
Yeah.
Said make sure Weimer gets them.